she inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. This is Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, an inspirational and informative place where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thanks so much for joining us and for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. And a big thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Chapman Automotive Group. The Chapman Community Green Team consistently demonstrates their commitment to a sustainable workplace and to their community through their in-house and community initiatives as part of their Doing Our Share, Showing We Care tagline. For more information about them and their great work, please visit them at chapmantucson.com, and we thank them for their support. Now, I say this quite a bit, and I always mean it. Get ready for another fabulous show about two topics that excite me beyond measure. One is about ending poverty, and the other is about how working to do that really moves us forward to a truly just and sustainable planet, and where better to start that conversation with the fashion industry. And so we have two great guests that know there is a fashion revolution going on around the world. People in almost every aspect of the industry are really waking up that the impact on fashion to our planet and climate change is severe. And I am seeing major positive changes moving us forward in that arena, really good stuff going on. And that's why I'm honestly thrilled to be spending the next hour with two individuals who are a part of that movement big time. And it's all about the shoes, mostly about the shoes. And I, how can I not love that? So please join me in welcoming two passionate and engaged human beings who my show producer Kelly King and I actually had the pleasure of hearing present at Green Biz Conference several months ago in Phoenix. Zachary Angelini is the manager of environmental stewardship for Timberland, and Ian Rosenberger is the founder and CEO of Thread. Zach and Ian, thank you so much for saying yes and for agreeing to spend this next hour with me.
Thanks so much for having us, Gina. It's great to be here.
I know, it's real. I told you it was going to be fun and exciting, and it is. So, Zach, let's just start with a bit of background about maybe the big picture of Timberland. It's a huge company. You really do have over 7 million followers on Facebook. I checked that out this morning. It's like getting closer to 7.5 million. Your brand is globally recognized outdoor lifestyle brand. And I just thought I'd like to read a quote, and then you can segue into the core values and why this is such a great partnership. At Timberland, we strive to be earth keepers in everything we do. We work hard to make our products responsibly, to protect the outdoors, and to serve communities around the globe where we live, work, and explore. And this is the line I loved. It said it on the website. Explore our responsibility website to learn more and come back often, because we never stop making things better. And I have looked at many, many, many websites, and that invitation to not just come back, but to see what you've made better, certainly grabbed me as, you know, the persona of Mrs. Green. So talk about Timberland, and then segue into how the Timberland X collection came about.
Thanks very much for that intro. So yeah, at Timberland, you touched on it. We divide our sustainability efforts into three pillars. There's products, communities, and the outdoors. So in terms of product, it's all about making our product responsibly. So the materials that go into them, as well as how they're made. And then in terms of the outdoors, that's really all about protecting and restoring the outdoors through different initiatives like tree planting. To date, we've planted over 8.7 million trees in China, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti. And then, so in terms of communities, at Timberland, we have 40 paid hours of community service that all employees are able to use to do community service. And so with that, we have been able to impact our communities locally and then also impact communities globally through what we call Timberland Sustainable Living Environments. So in this program, we have our auditors trained to ask factory workers some of the different challenges they have in their community and how we can help address those. So in terms of clean water or education, when they leave the factory, what are those challenges and how do we impact them? So those are just the some examples of the initiatives we have in the three pillars. And what was so great about this partnership with Thread was that this project really enabled us to address all three of those pillars. We're able to source a responsible material, recycled plastics, and at the same time, we're able to protect outdoors by cleaning, picking up those plastics from the environment in Haiti. And then also we're able to address the community there by providing dignified jobs. So it's been a really excited opportunity to address all three of the pillars that we work on in my department.
And the good thing for me is that I get to tell your story. I mean, this podcast will be listened to by thousands of people, and we need more good news. It doesn't always make the 10 o'clock news, at least anywhere where I've been.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's like, come on, let's talk about what type of systemic change this really is and how it continues to make things better. A little bit of background for those of you who don't know. Through a strategic partnership, Timberland partnered with Thread, which is a certified B Corporation, to launch the Timberland X Thread Collection. Thread transforms plastic bottles from the streets and canals of Haiti into what Thread calls the most responsible fabric on the planet. The collection and this partnership go beyond environmental sustainability, creating social value and impact in the form of cleaner neighborhoods and meaningful new job opportunities, which in turn truly end poverty. I want to know, and this is, of course, I always come up with questions that I didn't put down. How did it start? And Ian, we're going to talk about Thread and the amazing, you know, just from the beginning of your company. But who talked to whom first to launch the Timberland X collection? It's like, I want to know the down low.
Oh, I'll give you the down and dirty. So you know, as a startup founder, whenever you're looking to hang out with new brands, generally, you know, they're big, enormous brands with hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of people that work for them. And, you know, we're very much at the time, we were very much a little brand. And so I sent out, it seemed like hundreds, but I'm sure were dozens of emails to people within VF, which is the company that owns Timberland. And gosh, that probably was a 3-month process. And finally, somebody contacted a woman named Margaret Moray Rooner, who is Timberland's director of strategic partnerships. And she called me out of the blue. Her and a woman named Emily Alati, who still works at VF and their Footwear Innovation Center, they kind of grilled me on what this company was and what we were trying to do and what, you know, from a mission perspective, what Thread was all about. Beyond that, they grilled me on how much does the material cost and does it work? And that was the first of what have been hundreds and hundreds of conversations that have since become the partnership.
And think about that. I mean, I want everybody who's listening to think about that. You literally, it's like cold calling, cold emailing, and someone read it and look what's come about because they took enough care and interest to follow the thread, no pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was some like magical wand because I would definitely buy it, but it really isn't. It really is like, you know, you need to be just tenacious enough and you know, on the edge of annoying in order to get noticed.
I call it the gentle nudge. You know, it's really gentle nudge.
I'm a serious shove, but many times it's a gentle.
No, this is a show where we always have fun because the message is important, but you got to have fun along the way. And Ian, let's go to a little bit about Thread. Given the age of your company and your timing in the market in terms of global consciousness, I believe that you're on track through this partnership and your big vision to make a really big difference for the planet. And it started in 2010 when you visit Haiti. And I want to read a quote of what you wrote in your journal. Poverty is not about the absence of money. It's about the absence of dignity. It starts with a job, a dignified opportunity to go to work. So tell us about that experience and the impact it had, if any, on the founding of Thread and what Thread is all about.
Yeah, that's absolutely. You know, it was, that was the basis of an experience that has not just changed my company, but changed my whole life and has, you know, set the wheels in motion, I think, in a lot of my friends and family's life. We've been really lucky because the team that we put together, both at Thread and at the nonprofit organization that I started alongside it called Team Tassi, to be educated in how poverty actually works through the people that experience it every day. And some of the things that we learned when we started to become friends and, you know, now family with some of those people is that the environmental crisis is actually, in my mind, less about trees and polar bears and actually more about people. And what I discovered is that we can put people to work, that they make really good decisions about how to treat the earth. And, you know, I think that we tend to think of the environmental crisis as an us versus them or a good versus evil. And I genuinely don't believe that's the case. I believe that people make decisions based on how or whether they can feed their family. And if they're not able to do that, it puts them in a very difficult position. And they have to make decisions based on whether or not they should cut trees down or and burn them to create farmland or, to put food in people's mouths. We're lucky enough at Thread to be able to, you know, learn those lessons from the people who have to live them every day. And that's an incredibly humbling experience. And really, when I, you know, started Thread, it was learning the lessons about what it's like to be poor every day that caused me to start the company in the first place.
And Ian, I don't know if you have seen the movie Poverty Inc. If you haven't, I encourage you to see it. It was transformative for me. And that is the message of the movie. The only way that you can end poverty is by getting people out of it. And in places like Haiti and Africa, and of course my love, which started my journey in the Peruvian rainforest, the Amazon rainforest, it's not as simple as, you know, training people to work at the Circle K. There are so many obstacles when you're talking about third world countries living in abject poverty, that it is the answer. It's creating a socially just and sustainable planet. To me, there's no other answer. But this movie, Poverty Inc., very clearly illustrates that, talks from the perspective of the people receiving, quote unquote, the charity, and that how creating job opportunities gives them life and ends the cycle. So, needless to say, when I heard you two guys speak at Green Biz, I'm like all over it. Okay, Zach, there are misconceptions out there. I think not as much as there used to be, but that style and sustainability do not necessarily go hand in hand. So anybody who looks right at the Timberland X collection will know that totally debunks that. And how has the collection been received? I mean, it's all those right words that I don't know what young people use these days, hot, hip, and happening. But isn't that, it just debunks the myth.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's been received great so far. And a big part of our goal with working with Thread was to really make sure we did our due diligence and ensure that we weren't going to sacrifice style or performance with this partnership. We went through quite an extensive process with them, about a 3-year process, to really make sure that the fabric that we would use from Thread, it would have the positive impact that we wanted, but we wouldn't be sacrificing on any of the quality or durability or style standards that our customers expect from us. Because in order for this to be successful, and in order for us to continue scaling this impact and driving this impact further, we need customers to be buying the product. So that was really important from the onset.
And it's huge. And in the big launch of this, I guess I want to know, and I don't even know if you can answer it, and I never play stump the guest, but do your consumers care about creating job opportunities and cleaner neighborhoods in places like Haiti and cleaning up, you know, litter on the streets? Is it a demographic that you targeted? You know, how did you know where consumers were?
Yeah, we do a lot of consumer insight research at Timberland, and we've seen that consumers increasingly more and more care about this type of thing. And so we're really able to leverage that care to scale what we're doing. I think there was some research that I think it was millennials and Gen Z, kind of within that population, people who regularly make sustainable purchases and are contemplating making sustainable purchases spend about $51 billion on apparel and footwear in every 6 months. So there's a huge kind of opportunity to tap into that. And I think for startups like Thread, anyone out there like considering a startup, this is really where things are heading. And it's really important to be focusing on this, not just from it's really not just the right thing to do, but it really is smart from a business perspective.
I mean, it really is the, you know, triple bottom line. And it's coming, even in the 10 years that I've been doing it, I'm seeing it more and more and more. And there is something inherent, I would think, in the Timberland consumer. They're outdoor people. It's an outdoor brand.
Yeah.
So they care about the forest. They care about the ocean and the trails. But it doesn't always necessarily carry right through to purchase. But there is, to me, a predisposition to really caring. Yeah. This is not only going to look great on my feet, but I'm going to be making some type of social statement and contributing to the greater good. Ian, one of the questions...
And I'd also...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to add to that. It's also really important to think about the fact that through a project like this that has such a cool story, we're even able to get people to care more.
Yes.
Like, I think you touched on it in one of your past podcasts, I think it was with Synchronicity Earth, you were talking about how people, we live in a pretty self-oriented world. A lot of people are self-oriented. And so our goal through this partnership is to really connect our customers to the people and stories behind their products like these and really get them to care and get them to demand more, because that's how we're going to continue to scale the impact.
It's raising it all up. And this is a perfect segue, because there is the huge issue of transparency. When I put something on my Facebook page, if it's wrong or if I didn't do my homework, my community keeps me honest. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, crap, I didn't think to go check Snopes, or, you know, I know this person, so I assumed it was right. But Ian, I'd love to talk about, in terms of transparency, one of the questions I asked, and your answer, take as long as you want, and it blew me away, is the incredible thoroughness that you go through when it comes to sourcing of your materials. And I said, how do you know the person selling you the bottles isn't using slave labor to collect them, you know, paying a kid 3 cents and keeping most of the money? Talk to us about your relationship with your sources, which you just earlier in the broadcast said they have become friends and in some cases family. It's huge.
I think you're right on. I think it's, when you say it's huge, I agree. It's the most important part of our supply chain. And you know, the concept of transparency and traceability is something I think that's still very new within global supply chains. For generations, it hasn't really mattered, right? Because we treat fabric and ingredients like commodities, you know, just like sugar, you know, or coffee. And we saw this revolution happen with food in the past, you know, 10 or 15 years. The advent of and growth of companies like Whole Foods, you know, have allowed consumers to see deeper and further into, you know, where they get their food every day. And those commodities transformed into value products. And I think the same thing is now happening in clothing. People have been concerned to this point what they put in their bodies, but they're now going to be concerned with what they put on their bodies. And you know, when we really, you know, talk to consumers and people who buy, you know, boots and shirts and bags from companies like Timberland, and we ask them what it is they care about. Interestingly enough, you know, we mentioned it earlier. Yes, it's a, you know, Timberland's a brand that has a really wonderful reputation for being sustainable, which is one of the reasons we love them so much. But in order to actually move the needle, we need to reach the people who actually don't care about sustainability.
Exactly.
We need to reach those people, because, you know, we're going to always get the 10% that give a damn. You know, well, those people will always come along because they care about the same things we do. A true revolution in clothing happens when we're able to attract the folks that actually don't typically care. And when you ask consumers, the majority of them rank sustainability or responsibility, social or environmental, you know, and out of the top 10 when it comes to their purchasing decisions. When they buy clothes, it has to do with whether it looks good and whether it's the right price. But right next to that is, can we trust this brand? And is it authentic? Right? Does it contribute to my story as a buyer? And that's different than generations past, right? Our parents, they bought clothes just because they were the right price and they looked good. But not, or you know, maybe they needed to be more waterproof or they needed to be windproof. There's a technical differentiation. But now, if you're 35 or younger, you're making your purchase decisions not on those as much, but instead on, is it the right price? Does it look good? And how does it contribute to my story? What can I tell my friends about what this says about me? And if you don't have that value locked up in your good, you don't have a valuable product any longer. And so there's two reasons we pay that much attention to traceability and transparency. The first reason is we're a mission-focused company. It's one of our core values, mission-oriented, mission-driven. We make our decisions based on our social and our environmental bottom line just as much as we make them on our financial bottom line. And the people who are at the bottom of the supply chain aren't just cogs in the wheel. They matter to us, and they matter to our customers, which is why, you know, brands like Timberland come and visit the supply chain. They're planning on coming with us this summer. So first and foremost, we care about the mission. But beyond that, if I can't tell a trustworthy and authentic story to my customer who can then share it with their customer, their customer doesn't value them as trustworthy and authentic. So like the stories we tell have to be real in order for us to actually be valuable to brands. I hope that answers your question.
It does, but I wanted to, it does answer the question and then some, which is important information to be sharing. And I think you actually need a podcaster on that trip with you guys when you go this summer. Every time I'm on Sterling, I'm like, I'm going to go on one of these trips someday because I want to be on the scene, man. But anyway, Ian, you talked about at Green Biz, and I took copious notes, that you actually go to Haiti. You know the guy that is selling stuff to you is not, you know, a local, you know, gang lord or warlord or whatever word I'm looking for, that slave labor. You know them. And talk about that, how you actually, your team members go and have relationships with the source.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We knew that brands up in the very top of the supply chain were reaching down to try to get more transparency, and we became a company that sat at the bottom of the supply chain and reaches up. We call the people that you're all talking about, the people that are involved in this part of the supply chain, the first mile. And the first mile of the supply chain is, to us, the area where there's the greatest opportunity for impact and also the greatest vulnerability to things like poverty, because companies have built-in protections for things like margin. And, you know, when a company sells something that's cheaper, say they make a T-shirt for $5 or $6, you know, there's lots of fast fashion brands out there that do that. They can pass that cost on all the way down to the very bottom of the supply chain until they reach the folks at the very bottom. And that's where all that cost savings gets passed on. And it affects those people. So when I started Thread, we got to know those people. And we know them really well. Not just in our supply chain in Haiti, but also in now our new supply chain in Honduras and in Asia, where we're developing our third supply chain. It's critical to us that we know how the lives of the people that are responsible for making our products are changed because of them. And, you know, for us, that's not an easy process. It's, you know, emotionally difficult. It's intellectually difficult. It's complex. But rather than be a brand, that doesn't pay attention to those things, we decided that we could be more valuable to our clients and more valuable to the planet if we dove into those things head on. So we're in Haiti and Honduras almost every week at this point. We have full-time team members there all the time. So we have folks from the headquarters down there, you know, every couple times a month, and then people on the ground that are local and Haitian or Honduran that actually work with our suppliers on a daily basis to make sure that their lives are better because of the product.
And they know the culture and they know who's doing what. I mean, it's if you live there and you're a part of it, you know it. And Zach, switching back to Timberland, I mean, it's one thing if you're Thread, which, by the way, I hope everybody noticed, Ian glossed over, you know, they're in Haiti, and oh, by the way, then they expanded to Honduras, and oh, by the way, they're going to Asia. This is a company on a big mission, and it's happening kind of, you know, the synapses are firing rather quickly, and we'll get back to that. But Zach, when you have a company the size of Timberland, the process of going, I think I read something on your website, from bottle to boot, you can actually track where that product came from and tell consumers about who made their product. Did I misread that? I mean, you've got a tracking device and a way of letting people know not just who's your farmer, who's your tailor, and who's your shoemaker, and this is where this is coming from. That blows me away when you think of scale.
Yeah, so we're able to track the plastic bottles from the community they're collected in all the way to the fabric that then goes into Timberland boots. And that level of transparency is huge for us because in terms of my job, I think I touched on this a bit at GreenBiz. I work really closely with our legal department and with our marketing department to make sure that anytime we want to communicate a sustainability story to our consumers, we're able to back it up. And this level of transparency that they provide just makes it really seamless for us to be able to back it up with minimal extra work on our end as Timberland. So it's a very smart move as a startup company to be providing that, because it makes the startup so much more attractive to us as Timberland, because we can so easily integrate their incredible marketing story into our own. And so that was really huge. And then just on top of that, being able to move beyond the environmental impacts and tell the awesome social story. I think like this partnership is just a great example of how social and environmental impacts are all very interconnected. And so you really shouldn't just focus on one or the other. And this is just a great example of how you can have both a positive environmental and social impact.
And so when let's get down to the like the nitty gritty, when someone purchases a piece of clothing or a pair of shoes or a backpack, is there some type of tag on it that explains where this was sourced and who possibly, you know, who touched it, or how do you let people know that supply chain?
Well, yeah, I'll take that. Sure. Go ahead, Zach.
You can both take it.
I was actually going to direct them to the Thread website. So
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yes. I was when we start the process with brands, we use a platform on our site called SourceMap, and what that allows us to do is we take SourceMap and we really stretch it as far as it'll go. When a brand buys Thread material, they can see exactly what part of the country and supply chain that the material came from in the first place. Not just the names of the supplier, but now we're getting so far as to talk about the ripple effect of how, you know, when somebody can collect and process plastic material in country, what does that mean in terms of how they, you know, send their kids to school, how they pay for, you know, putting food on the table? Like, we're learning now what the people that are in the supply chain are actually spending their money on. So, you know, that level of transparency is getting better and better every day. And you know, to be fair, we share warts and all, right? The point here is not just to share when things go well, but, you know, when there's problems and things in the supply chain that we're not so sure of, to make sure that we're talking about those and being fair about those. So SourceMap is how we chart it. Anybody that wants to see where their stuff comes from can go there and see it specifically. But in terms of like what the nitty gritty is, that comes from collecting data regularly, both qualitatively and quantitatively, from folks in the supply chain. So it's a daily conversation with the people that we're having impact on, whether it's through our microloan program or through our disaster insurance program or through our the meetings that we have with the center owners on a regular basis. and having conversations. And then also it's collecting data and making sure that that data is both ways, and then using it to actually make impact.
So it's, I'm trying to, you know, my head around the part of the consumer, and going back to Poverty Inc., which I'm going to ask you guys virtually to pinky swear that you'll watch it because it's so what you're doing. It's like, you got to see it. But they start this couple, I won't tell the whole story, but they started something called the Apparent Project, and it's just Apparent. And they were going to adopt children in Haiti. They realized that 70% of the orphans there are poverty orphans, not children without parents. So they started this project, and one of them, the projects, is they send jewelry made by men and women in this now blossoming company, and they make the jewelry out of things like cereal boxes and recycled materials, and they send you it, and you sell it and send the money back. But on each piece of jewelry is a tag with a picture and a very short story. So I know who my demographic is. I targeted to all my women friends and my daughter's women, you know, their girlfriends and all of that. And we sold a lot of it just by people stopping by. And it mattered to those people that were buying it. And they were saying, I think I want to keep this tag on my jewelry, this little paper tag. So I think you're right about, you know, people caring. And that is your consumer, that they're putting something on their bodies that is having a positive impact on someone's life. So
yeah, I mean, you're right on. I think the thing that gets me excited about when brands like Timberland jumping on board with stuff like this is that we can take that same idea, that same element of storytelling, and transfer it to the general public at scale. And in my mind, you know, I love the type of thing that you're talking about. I think for us, the next step in that evolution is, how do we deliver that, not at the hundreds of units level, but at the tens of millions of units level? And if we can do that consistently, we're not talking about just putting a couple people to work here and there. We're talking about putting tens of thousands of people to work. And ultimately, you know, that's what we're after. We won't have considered this whole experiment successful until we're able to say that tens of thousands of people are working, not just supplying, you know, companies like Timberland with boots and with bags and with clothes, but some of the other biggest brands in the world.
And can anybody who's listening wonder why Kelly and I kind of stood up and started screaming and cheering when we heard these two guys present at Green Biz? It's like, right on, yes, yes, yes. We, you know, we have to have them on the show. But your passion, Ian, is just, it's so transformative and so wonderful for people to hear about. You've got a big dream, and thank goodness Timberland had the vision. I mean, they are giants. They are big corporate giants with an incredible set of core values and wanting to protect the outdoors. And with the success of this, others will be watching. And that's another arena to me for the ripple effect. If you're just joining us, Zach Angelini, manager of environmental stewardship at Timberland, and Ian Rosenberger, founder and CEO at Thread and their respective companies, worked together to launch the Timberland X Thread collection, which includes 5 styles of men's footwear, 2 bags and 1 t-shirt, all made using Thread ground to good fabric. The new products really do build on Timberland's long-standing commitment to be earth keepers, to innovate and operate their business in an accountable and responsible manner. With their shared passion for supporting communities in Haiti, Timberland and Thread were natural partners from the start, clearly. Both companies are determined to look beyond the environmental value of recycled plastic bottles to focus on responsibility, transparency, and creating social value. You've got to love that. What about the impact on climate change? Because I personally believe that all of the things that you're doing through this Timberland X collection have an impact on climate change. Zach, what would you say to that? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, so the most measurable effect we've seen through the life cycle assessment results is the huge reduction on water use. I think it's something like, by switching from the conventional fabric we use to this fabric, we reduced water use by about 49%.
Oh my.
I think in total, that equates to about 30 million gallons of water. And as you know, like with climate change, that affects water availability. It takes energy to clean water. All of those things are really interconnected. So I think that's a really huge benefit from this partnership.
Huge. I mean, yeah. And you pick the number one thing that we can't live without, water. It's
right.
Like we better. It's our most precious resource. Ian, what were you going to add to that?
I just was going to say that I definitely agree. We're really proud of that. And also, this partnership picked up about, so far, this first season picked up about 765,000 bottles. And the bottles, you know, if they were making that out of regular polyester, all those bottles would transmit literally that poly would be coming from barrels of oil. So every time we make something out of recycled material, we're saving ourselves the hassle of actually extracting oil from the ground. And, you know, in our mind, oil's best kept underground where it belongs. So, yeah. You know, I look forward to the day when we've used all the plastic up everywhere so that, you know, we're forced to turn to new materials. But that day's not coming anytime soon. So I'm happy to recycle bottles.
Probably if not one more plastic bottle was manufactured in the United States and you just sourced from the existing ones that are filling landfills all over the world, you'd have like at least a 10-year supply. I mean, I do a lot of research.
We'd be good for quite a while.
It would be, you'd be good. And of course, that is not going to happen. Sadly, that
right.
You know, people, especially in the United States, who have access to clean water, go in the refrigerator and pull out a water bottle. It just blows me away. So there are some people who don't want me to come over their house anymore, you know, and it's okay. I'm good with that. it's okay. No. And even last night we went to a dinner and we had something that was messy to eat. And I said, they had gorgeous linen napkins. And I said to my friend, I said, Sandy, I'm not wiping my mouth on this gorgeous linen napkin. She goes, I know, but we were afraid to put out paper because you were coming to dinner. It was so funny. So it's
awesome.
Like, okay. I said, yep, here she is. And I said, no, please give me a paper napkin. There are times when it's just right. Okay, Ian, this is kind of jumping around a little bit, but I want to know why you felt it was so important and why it is such an upfront part of your branding that you are a B Corp. I think that matters and certainly merits some discussion about why you're a certified B Corp.
Oh, I'm happy to talk about it. Yeah. Yes, we're not only a certified B Corp, but we raised venture capital as a benefit corporation. So we were certified as a B Corp in our first iteration as a company, and then when we raised capital, we transferred. And now we're a legal designation in that we're not a corporation or an Inc. We're a certified benefit corporation. So that has some governance structural things that allow us to play in the space we do for a much longer time. I did that because I believe that, you know, Thread will grow. I believe that it has an opportunity to one day sell and be a much, much bigger company to a larger organization. But I wanted to ensure that if I ever decided to do that, that we wouldn't make money at the expense of our mission. We'd make money because of our mission. And, you know, anytime that I would sell Thread, I would do it in order to ensure that we can just scale the work that we're doing even more. But you can't leave that just in the hands of a CEO or a founder. I think it's important to write that into the legal structure of the organization. That way, if I get hit by a bus and somebody else comes along and runs Thread, they can't say, you know what, guys, like we're just done with making stuff out of recycled material or giving people jobs. So I wanted a structure that allowed me to be held accountable to that and gave me protection from a board one day that said, well, we're going to sell because we can make the most money here. And that's one of the great things about B Corps. In addition to being a certified body, it allows you that protection. And it gives me as a founder and a CEO some place to backstop to. And I thought that was, that was critical when it came to designing what the organization was going to look like.
It's huge in terms of setting the big intention. So, Zach, let's go back to you and talk about, if you can, and if there had to be like challenges and glitches. I mean, I don't believe any marriage is made in heaven, and this was a complicated marriage with very different partners. So how did you, there had to be, it's like what, because I think in educating people through the Mrs. Green's World platform, it's not always just a walk in the park and, oh, we just had this great idea and they loved us and we loved them. What were some of the challenges or fears or, you know, things that you had to overcome because you had such a firm commitment to the partnership and the outcome?
Yeah, of course. So first, I want to just quickly touch on what Ian was saying about B Corps and just mention that from Timberland's perspective, that was one of the major things that attracted us to them and was a huge vote of confidence.
Wow.
And so that really was huge. And I think when, so back to your question, when we started the our partnership with Thread, I think I mentioned before, it was about a three-year process. And the reason that took so long, that's about actually twice our normal development cycle. The reason that took so long is because we had some key learnings from past partnerships with startups like Thread. And what we saw that if we're going to build a sustainable partnership with a startup, us as Timberland need to be more upfront with our needs for not only the launch, but the continued relationship. So a lot of times with startups in the past, we had kind of like these one and done experiences where we generated a really strong consumer support, in which increased our demand for volume of the material the startup was providing. But the startup wasn't in a place to supply that increased demand. So we really wanted to make sure we worked very closely with Thread, and we were probably pretty annoying throughout this process, honestly. But to make sure that really we were both on both of our ends, we were prepared for success so that this relationship is a long-term and a sustainable one from a business perspective.
And so were you ever worried about, like, two questions. One, were you worried about, like, how did you know this was going to work? It's a whole, you're going to make shoes that are going to be 50%, you know, PET. So you had to know that they weren't going to fall apart, that they were going to do, you know, be the quality that you wanted them to be. Was that already vetted and you felt comfortable about that?
That's where the annoying part comes in.
Tell us. Exactly. Yeah. I want to hear a little bit about the annoying part.
I'll say before Zach had come along into the partnership, Timberland, there's areas where Timberland needs to treat us like a vendor. Like, we're certainly a partner. We, you know, it's a different type of material vendor relation, like vendor,
yes,
brand relation, because we touch so many different areas of the organization. So we're definitely more of a partner than a vendor. That said, we have to act like a vendor sometimes. And what that means is, when they say, look, guys, we want to put this into these shoes, send it over to us, it has to pass all the same tests when they pull it apart and they shove nails through it and they stretch it on the machine.
It doesn't work. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say, I'm so thankful that we made boots first. Like, Timberland's our first really big partner. And, like, that's allowed us to make something tough to get started.
Yep. Right? It wasn't like outdoor wear. Outdoor wear, right, not a silk scarf.
Crap out of it on a daily basis. And for us, like, we're thankful for that annoyance, you know, because it forces us to raise the bar. And that, you know, having to pass those same hoops, that's made us ready for the market in other ways. You know, now we can go to other brands and tell them, look, our first product's like, you know, they're in the mud every day. And if they're not in the mud, there's element. And so we're happy to pass whatever test they toss our way.
And I just keep thinking about it, and I'll think about it for a long time. Those two people that called you, because they cared enough to read what you said, and when you have your, you know, 10-year celebration, I hope they'll be invited and you'll honor them. I mean, that was the beginning. You talk about, you know, the Thread. It blows me away. And Ian, I never got to, I mean, this is what happened preparing for this interview. It's like, well, I want to ask him this and I want to ask him this. The whirling dervish brain was on overload. But what made you start Thread in the first place? What was your background and how did it happen?
Yeah. It's
a really important question, and I should have asked it in the beginning, but it's all good.
It's like I'm 6'7", and I get two questions every day, like, how tall are you, and do you play basketball? The third question I have most is, how does Dread start?
Yeah. So I know to answer that one, but everybody doesn't know the answer.
No, it's totally okay. I had the chance to see how poverty worked firsthand back in the early 2000s. And I was in another life. I was working in television and production and in marketing. And I was traveling to places like Africa and Central America, and I was getting the chance to see what poverty looked like, but not really having an effect on it, on you know, whether or not things changed. And I knew then that I wanted to start a company, but I really wasn't sure how. And then the earthquake happened in Haiti in 2010, and I spent a week or so on the ground there, and then I spent another week and another week, and I started to visit more and more and fall in love with what has become really my second home, and it's a really incredible place. More than just a place, the people that I had the chance to meet while I were there, I realized wanted the same things that I wanted, right? A roof over my head, a good job, and like my family and my kids to have a better life than I had. And it was then that like poverty opened up for me, that when you look at it as something that we all want, when we all want the same things, realizing that we all want the same things, it allows us to do some things and to have conversations around the poor that we haven't had in the past. It allows us to approach the problem from a perspective of equality as opposed to an us bestowing our solutions on them. That to me was it might seem like a really simple epiphany, but that to me was a very personal epiphany.
It's the seismic shift. I mean, it's the beginning of that. That is, to me, that's the crux of it. It may be simple, but it's really, really, really important that we understand that, and we all win. That's the part that just I want to say to people. If we end poverty, we all win. If we raise the bottom, it lifts us all up. And then I sound like I should get off the soapbox, but it's like...
No, it's not a soapbox at all.
Sometimes you need a soapbox.
So the idea is that like our futures are all tied up together, whether we like it or not. Like, you know, the idea that, you know, people say, oh, we need less government, or we need... that, you know, how can what's happening out there affect what's happening here in the United States? And the fact is that, like, we are all tied together. We live on a very small planet. And whether we like it or not, what happens in Africa or Haiti or Asia affects what happens and how we live in the United States. And if we don't recognize that and make our products accordingly, whether we're blue or red or purple, it's an objective idea. That, you know, we have to make the things that we wear with an eye towards the fact that we are all connected. The reason the company is called Thread is because I think there's a thread that runs through everybody, a story that runs through all of us. And we can unlock that story and tell it in a way that's real. We can learn more about ourselves and we can make better clothes. So it all started with Haiti.
And I want to talk about this is, can you imagine, I've been doing this for 10 years, lots of research, lots of time on the internet, lots of Google searches, and in going through the process for homework for this show, you got me to think about something very differently and something new, Ian, and I just want to talk about it for a minute. And it's the issue of child labor. And in my mind, up to and including when I read a page on your report, your accountability report for 2016, mm-hmm. It put a different spin on it, because the reality is that in many of the countries that you're working in all the countries you're working in, there is extreme poverty, things that we in America cannot even begin to imagine. And children are a critical part of the income to their families. Like, translation, my family won't starve if I can go to work. So it's not like we just have to end child labor. Talk about what your initiative is and how you're addressing that in such an intentional and important way.
Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest issue as a company, and I think as an industry. And I mentioned earlier that when you're making a $5 t-shirt someplace, You know, you have to remember that that usually means that somebody somewhere is getting screwed.
Yeah, I call I'm not buying that T-shirt because it has the blood of small children on it. That's what I say to my kids and grandkids. Like, no, we can't buy that. If it was $5, somebody got harmed in the making of this device.
It's impressive that it still happens in 2017. That said, we have to be attuned to the fact that the cultures and the ways of operating in countries that aren't the United States are different. And what that means is, you know, Thread as an organization has come into communities where collecting plastic, you know, when you're 14 or 15 years old, is a part of the culture. And we can do one of two things in that situation. We can walk away from it. And we could say, okay, we're not ever going to talk about it again. And nope, we don't source from this area. We don't buy plastic from that area. Or we can wade into it and do something about it and help to be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. And frankly, like, I wasn't raised, and I know that my team wasn't, and the folks who work at Timberland weren't raised to be people that walk away from problems. And I think for us, that meant diving into what we saw and putting together real solutions for how we can be a part of it. And then inviting brands, come out there with us and stand up and say, we're going to be a part of how to fix this problem globally. And what that's allowed us to do, and something I'm extremely proud of, is it's allowed us to work with some of the biggest brands on the planet to have real, honest conversations about global recycled supply chains. Because whether we like it or not, if you're making or using something that has recycled material in it, and it's not thread, you don't know whether there's kids or not that are in that supply chain. And you certainly don't know how they're being treated. And what I'm really proud of is that we do know. And we have a program that we're putting in place. And we did a partnership with not just Timberland, but the Clinton Global Initiative and Hewlett-Packard, HP, that have allowed us to not just study the problem, but also to put a strategy in place over the next 3 years where we can end the cycle of children in global recycled supply chain. And I think if there's one thing we all walk away from this in 50 years, and we say, what were we able to do? In addition to scaling these products across the world and making it, you know, a matter of course to use responsible products, it'll be this issue.
It's a big, big, bold statement. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a big mission in action. And Zach, when it comes to, you know, there's like Thread and then there's Timberland, okay? It's a huge corporation. When you, as a spokesperson for the company, get out there, how do you educate not just the customers, but your employees? Because I think all of this leadership starts from the inside out. And how do you work with them in terms of continuing their education? Because there are many levels. I mean, you have an accountant and you have receptionists and you have people that are not on the front line. What is the company's, you know, process for, you know, honoring that, educating that, incorporating that? I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's so true that people at all levels of the company, they touch partnerships like this in some way, whether small or large. And so it's so important for everyone to know what's going on, know how important a partnership like this is, and be aware of it. It's actually really good timing for the question. We actually just wrapped up Earth Week at Timberland last week, where every day we had a different event that centered around getting employees to understand the environmental impact or social impact that this industry has and what we're doing to minimize that as much as possible and how everyone can get involved. And so that's kind of like a big celebration we have to raise awareness. But in the day-to-day, we have what I manage is called the Green Working Group at Timberland.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a group of members from all different departments within the company. There's members from marketing, legal, product development, design. And weekly, we get together to all make sure everybody's aligned and aware of what's going on. What are the hot issues? What are our biggest environmental impacts? And what can we do to address those? And then how can we communicate that to the customer? And how can we back up any claims that we're having? So that group is a really important facet of what we do and making sure that everybody is aligned.
And it's so true. I mean, a lot of what the Mrs. Green's World team does, what we do is we consult with companies to have them become more sustainable. And it's not, you just don't go in and do a training and say, we'll see you next year. I mean, right. it's you have to have people that are stakeholders within the company. And, you know, we do audits and we make them fun and give, you know, rewards to people. I mean, I work with 7 car dealerships. When you talk about plastic water bottle use, it was like kind of heavy duty. And when we did a walkthrough through those 7 dealerships recently, we found 3 plastic bottles in the whole entire, in 7 dealerships. It was like, we're making progress. And I just want to, this keeps coming back to me about when you talk about the global impact, when Timberland plants, I believe you said 9 million trees is what I put down.
Just about 8.7.
Seriously, that contributes to our air quality every day. And that's, you know, when I went to the rainforest, it's like, oh, people, by cutting down and clear cutting these rainforests, it's going to affect the air we breathe. So that's a big impact that is so clearly, you know, we are a global community. You can tell if you look at us from down in space. So we're going to run out of time, which blows me away. It's like we have 6 minutes left, I think. So Zach and Ian, my final question is, and I have to go over your social media ways to, people can find you, but the Looking Glass, for Zach, I want to know, how will this partnership, you know, being a reflection of what you're doing, will it continue to focus on initiatives like this or anything new and exciting that we can hear first on Mrs. Green's World because of this partnership?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We're super excited, just first and foremost, to continue expanding this partnership with Thread. We're working with them now to look at new materials developed specifically for Timberland with all different kinds of performance attributes to really increase the different benefits you can get from buying these products beyond the amazing positive social and environmental benefits. And then really just, I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but there's a lot of cool things going on. We have a Timberland tire project in that we recently started where we're developing tires with a second life in mind. So after the tires end their useful life, they can be recycled into Timberland footwear. There's a lot of cool things. I don't want to waste too much time on.
But there'll be another Mrs. Green's World opportunity, and our audience is growing, which is also a wonderful thing because it's really important that people are continuing to raise their environmental IQ. Ian, other than taking over the whole world fashion industry, and I say that kind of like not even exaggerating, your vision is so strong, so powerful, and so important. What's next in terms of meaningful, intentional ways for your company? Expansion.
Yeah, well, that's a thank you for the question. For us, it's about doing what we've done with Timberland again with them and doing it bigger, which we're again excited about. We think that 30 million gallons of water we can add a couple of zeros to.
Wow.
And you know, 765,000 bottles, we can add a couple of zeros to that too. So I know Zach and his team and our teams are already working together on how to figure that out. So that's step one. And then beyond that, we're excited. We're beginning to offer some products for women. They'll be out this year with 2 new brands that certainly everybody knows the name of, but I'm not allowed to say yet. So we'll be out and about with them this year around the Christmas holidays and certainly into the new year. And then you know, we've got a North Star that in the next 2 years, we think that every major apparel brand on the planet should be using Thread as a matter of course. And we're in conversations with about half that list right now. So we've got, you know, another half of the list to get through. And I really get excited about how we move our supply chains and grow those. Like I mentioned Haiti, Honduras. We're about to pick a country in Asia. We're looking at Nepal and Cambodia and Laos and India. Bangladesh, we're going to narrow in on one of those. And then after that, I really want to get involved in some way, shape, or form in the Middle East. I would love to be involved in Syria. We've got some interesting ways to get involved there. And our mission tells us we go to the poorest areas of the world and turn trash into jobs and useful stuff that people love. So, you know, the area that we see we can make a lot of impact in is an area that's being really affected by folks like refugees. And I think we can have an impact there. So I'm looking both ahead to the companies we work with and to the areas we source in, because I think those can get really powerful.
And, you know, I can tell you this, that people listening, I just had a tremendous Earth Week. And the thing that was so affirming to me is how many people came up to me and said, I listened to this podcast, I listened to that podcast, I was so excited about this podcast. This podcast addressed climate change and child labor and recycling, which then leads to our oceans and providing oxygen through the tree initiative. I mean, this is like the whole green enchilada, as we say here in the Southwest. And I just thank both of you for coming into our lives. And I want to tell everybody, it's not really hard to find these, but I like to say them. Timberland.com is the website. Thread International is the website. Facebook for is Timberland, 7.3 million followers. And Thread, I-N-T-L, is for Facebook. And, you know, Ian, for how old you are, you have, like, I think 35,000. So you're going to be growing. The next time I have you back, you'll be over a million. And Twitter, Timberland, and Twitter, the same, Thread, I-N-T-L, for international. Instagram, Timberland. Instagram, Thread International, the same thing. And you have a Pinterest page, I believe, Zach, it's Timberland. And I want to give a shout out to anybody that wants to we'll post this once we have it up, the podcast. And we're using the hashtag TimberlandXThread, which, you know, I'd love to have a hashtag go viral. And on our Down to Earth show this week is Britton Dornquist, who's going to tell us what's happening on Main Street here in the Southwest. And our national show, Laura Coffey from the Today Show Online. And Karen Hollish talking about this old dog, their ultimate recycling, and how adopting old dogs can be one of the most wonderful things you do in your life. To both of you, thank you sincerely. Thank you from everybody from Mrs. Green's World. I can't wait to watch this soar, and thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.